Just a quick word from our sponsor before we jump into today's episode. Optimizing your internal processes can often be a huge unlock for streamlining revenue and getting you and your team, if you have one, out of a manual process. If you're looking to reduce costs and headaches in one fell swoop, consider graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere, and you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Everything seems to be more expensive these days, so proven ways to cut costs and boost performance at the same time, like NetSuite, are kind of a no-brainer. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/SPI. netsuite.com/SPI. Once again, netsuite.com/SPI. And now a quick word from our sponsor before we start the show. Ready to earn sustainable income while creating the work you're passionate about? Get started with Memberful. Whether you teach online courses, host a podcast, run a blog, or write a newsletter, Memberful has all the tools you need to unlock revenue and deeply connect with your audience through subscription membership. Their platform allows you to easily gate content, communicate with your audience, and tier membership access directly on your own website. Plus, with Memberful, there's no need to change your workflow. They work seamlessly and integrate with the tools you already use, including MailChimp, Discord, Zapier, ConvertKit, Google Analytics, and more. Utilize their powerful built-in features and dashboards and watch your business grow. The best part? Memberful gives you full control and ownership of your audience, your brand, and your business. Get started for free at memberful.com/SPI. One more time, that's memberful.com/SPI. Welcome to the guide to getting laid off. And if you had just gotten laid off, or you know somebody who's gotten laid off or furloughed or what have you, job is potentially in distress, then this is the episode for you. Now, this is an emergency podcast episode. This is not in our usual sort of numbered episodes fashion. This is an emergency episode because we are at a time in the nation, in the world, where a number of people are being let go as a result of a disease or a virus that's getting spread around the world, the COVID-19. So if you're listening to this in the future, that's where this idea came from. Somebody on my team, Mindy, came up with the idea for this, and I think it's a fantastic idea, but of course, people get laid off at all times for all different kinds of reasons, and no matter where you're at in the world right now, no matter what just happened, you are, number one, not alone. And that is the first thing I wanted to tell you. There's going to be 10 things that I'm going to share with you here, and then I'm going to hand the mic over to our COO, CFO, Matt Gartland, who's going to share with you a number of different tips that you could do right now to start understanding, well, what might you be able to do to take some of the skills that you currently have and turn them into something like a freelancing career, at least maybe on the side, or could potentially be full-time. Because I know money and income is something that's obviously something that you're worrying about right now. And before we get started here with the second to 10th tips that I have, the first one being you're not alone. I've been through this before myself. In 2008, I worked at an architectural firm. I was a job captain and quickly climbing the corporate ladder. Very, very happy with my job, actually. Quite satisfied with it and very excited about the future. I eventually wanted to open up my own architecture practice. A few months prior, I actually proposed to my girlfriend, April. She said yes, and all things were great. I was contributing to my 401k. I was doing all the things right, trying to keep my job as secure as possible. And I was told, and I mentioned 2008, likely if you remember, that was during the recession, and this was right around the time this was all starting to happen. Yet, my boss kept telling me that we were going to be fine. Although we had heard a bunch of stuff in the news, although we had heard that a lot of people in other companies were getting laid off, we were told that, well, we're going to be fine. And unfortunately, that was not the case. On June 17th, 2008, my boss called me into his office, and I kind of had an idea, but I just didn't want to believe it, of what was about to happen. But he sat me down. He said straight into my eyes, he said, "Pat, you're one of the youngest, brightest guys I've ever worked with. Unfortunately, we have to let you go." And it was a crushing blow. Like, honestly, I don't know how you feel right now or how your friend feels right now who might be going through a layoff, but I felt like I got gut punched. Like, literally the breath came out of me and I had no idea what to do next, what I was going to do. My first reaction was to try and solve the problem, right? I'm a problem solver by nature. So I tried to solve the problem. okay, getting laid off, let me call every single architecture firm we've ever spoken to, all my friends who went to school with me back in architecture, back at UC Berkeley. Let me chat with every engineer, mechanical, engineering, plumbing that we've ever spoken to. And I begged and I pleaded for a job. That was my way of trying to solve the problem, was to get back to where I just got let go from. And I even remember at one point I was begging for just an executive sort of assistant position just so I could stay in, because that's the only world I knew. I'd went to school for 5 years for architecture, had been in the job force for 4 years doing that, quickly climbing the ladder, and I wanted to hold on to it as long as I could. And after that, I went through a phase of getting upset and angry. I got angry at my boss for lying and saying that everything was going to be okay. Didn't give me time to prepare. I was angry at myself for maybe not working as hard as I could have. I was worried about what my fiance was going to say, what my parents were going to say. Did I do something wrong? These are all thoughts that were coming across my mind. Thankfully, I had some good support. I went back to my apartment. My fiance really, really helped encourage me, kept me, you know, sane during that time, and just told me a few words that were really important to me, which was, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. And it was nice to hear somebody else say it, although in the back of my mind, I was thinking, well, how do you know? I'm so upset. Like, what if it's not okay? The first thing I realized was, you know, I think our brains do this thing where when we are in a time of stress like this, we tend to think the worst case scenario, like the absolute worst case scenario, the very highly unlikely, pretty much impossible scenario is what we believe is going to happen. And I remember specifically thoughts coming across my brain that were like, I'm going to be homeless. I'm going to be naked in a ditch somewhere and I'm not going to have anything. You know, my fiance is going to leave me. My parents are going to leave me. Like the whole world's crumbling on me. And it's very, very easy to fall into a trap like that. And the number one thing I'd recommend to you, beyond realizing that you're not alone, because again, I've gone through this too, is that the worst case scenario that you're painting is likely the very unlikely situation. And so we have to figure out what the truths are, right? This is very Elon Musk. Let's go back to first principles. Like, let's get rid of the sort of, as much as we can, a lot of the emotion, and let's try to find the underlying truths behind what's happening and whether or not we're going to bounce back from this. And we always bounce back from it. That's the number one truth. It just is a matter of when, and it really depends on how you react to the situation, which takes me to tip number two here. And although I'm saying, you know, hey, like, let's put aside the emotions for now. Let's try to figure out how to solve this problem. The truth of the matter is, it's totally okay to be frustrated. Being frustrated is a vent. It's important to vent. It's important to have conversations with people and just express how you're feeling. I think that's very key. And I'm very, again, thankful I had people to connect with to be able to do that. And even if you don't, just know that it's okay to take some time to be frustrated, because this shouldn't have happened and it's not fair. And there's a lot of things that were out of our control, but there's also a lot of things that we can control. But all in all, it's okay to be frustrated. But number three, it's not okay to let that frustration totally get in the way of what your next steps might be. Now, after I got laid off, I literally sat in bed for 3 weeks straight, depressed, watching Back to the Future over and over again. A lot of my fans know that I'm a huge Back to the Future fan. This is partly the reason why, because I just watched it 60 times in a row. However, after the 1 hour and 56 minutes of that, I know exactly how much time that that movie is, I snapped back into reality and I had to start it again. And the reason why I wanted to watch Back to the Future was because I had this little hope inside of me that maybe there was this thing called a DeLorean. Well, there is a DeLorean, but one that was a time machine that I could go 88 miles per hour in and go back into time and change things and make things better. But the truth is, that is impossible. And it took me 60 times watching that movie to realize that, well, nothing's going to change from the past. I can't go back into the past and change things. I can't control that and then have the present day be different. The truth is, present day is what it is. However, it's the things that we do now and the actions that we take from this point forward that actually write the story of our future. And so although Back to the Future is a fictional story, there is a lot of truth behind it that whatever it is that we do now, the events and the actions that we take determine the story for our future. So eventually I had to realize that sitting in bed was not going to do me any good. I had to proactively get up on my feet and find some help and figure out what to do next. So that takes me to number four. First tip was, you are not alone. And you're not the only one getting laid off at this moment in time. I've gone through it before as well. Number two, it's okay to be frustrated. Number three, it's not okay to let that frustration get in the way of you moving forward. Number four, find support, someone to talk to, other people who perhaps are going through similar tough situations like you, or friends or family who are willing to listen to you and to offer support. And when you do find those people, let them know what support actually looks like. Sometimes you go to people for support and they just start bombarding you with, oh, have you tried this? Have you done this? Have you looked at that? If you're not the person who can kind of receive that kind of information, if you don't like receiving information in that way, or you're just not in a moment of your life right now to receive that kind of information, then let a person know that that's not the kind of support you're looking for. I think when seeking support, it's important for you to first understand how would you like to be supported. In many cases, you just might need somebody that you could vent to that can understand and just kind of nod along with you. And that's okay too. Whatever kind of support you need, find it. And there could be a lot of people who are going through similar situations that can relate to what you're going through right now. And I'm also there for support as well, at Pat Flynn on Twitter, Instagram. Obviously, the team at SPI is here to help you as well. There's all different kinds of ways to get support, online, offline, etc. Number five, and this is especially important after you have a mindset shift, which tends to happen to people who have been laid off. They eventually get out of a little bit of sort of, feeling terrible about things, and then actually getting excited about the possibilities. And oftentimes we can get so excited that we start putting action into all different kinds of things to try to make things work. And again, make sure you stick around to the end, because Matt's going to give you a little bit of guidance on where you might be able to focus that energy here at the start of your new journey. But before that, we need to, number five, make sure we take care of necessities. And what I mean by that are the things that you need for basic living to just ensure that you're going to be okay for a while. And that means going back into your accounts to making sure you have enough set aside for rent or payments of any kind. Food, of course, and health. If health insurance is something that you are worried about, then definitely do the research. And I can't tell you exactly what to do. I do know there are options typically once you get laid off, such as COBRA, which is definitely pretty expensive. And there's other options privately. Perhaps you have a severance package. There's a lot of different factors, and I cannot speak to your specific situation, but just with whatever situation you're in and whatever you have access to. And of course, you can also go back to your job to ask for help, or at least reach out to people who probably feel bad about letting you go to seek guidance as well, in case, because they probably have some other people who have been asking the same things. Try to get some help from those who might be able to guide you into, well, where might you be able to find health insurance that makes sense for you and your situation at the same time. So taking care of those necessities is really important, because then it opens up the ability and your availability to try new things and to experiment and to potentially see what you might be able to do next. So number six, consider then what your options may be for your next steps. I think it's really important to understand there might be some immediate next steps related to what your next, for example, move might be related to your career or your job. And there might be some sort of future thinking sort of steps related to, okay, well, initially I need to get a new job or find something in the meantime, maybe freelance for a while. But ultimately, I do not want to have to go through this situation anymore, which is what I thought at the time. Eventually, I got to the point where I was like, you know what? I did everything I was supposed to. I got good grades in school. I graduated magna cum laude from Berkeley. I did everything I could at the job that I had to just become the best person I could. I was the youngest person to be promoted to job captain, and yet I still got let go. Not cool. I do not ever want to have to go through that again. So eventually, whether I need a job now to sort of supplement my income until I find a way, I want to be my own boss. I want to become an entrepreneur. And that's eventually what I became. So more on that later, but looking back, this absolutely was a huge blessing in disguise, because it definitely opened me up to new opportunities. But I had to know where I wanted to go. I had to be very clear with what my future vision was like in terms of how I wanted things to be. And if you want to go back to the job that you had or something similar, then that's totally fine. Even though this is a podcast related to entrepreneurship and starting an online business, if that's not for you, that's totally fine. I'm not here to convince you to do that if that's not what you want to do. The point being here in number six is you need to know what you want to do so that you know what next steps to take. This is the address that you want to put in the navigation menu so you can understand what turns to take from this point forward. So that's number six. And for whatever next steps you might need, that's what I would start learning about next. If the next step might be trying to find another position, something similar to what you had, then go and take action on that and dedicate your time that you now have to that. If, for example, you want to start exploring new options, then find somebody who is teaching those things, whether it's here on Smart Passive Income, on this podcast or on the blog or on the YouTube channel or somebody else, it doesn't matter. Find somebody who is where you want to go and start learning from them so that you can understand what the next steps might be, and even ask for help, join their communities, be a part of the discussions that are happening there. Quick story, in 2008, I remember that after I got laid off, I got really interested in online business. And it was actually a podcast called Internet Business Mastery that I found randomly that truly introduced me and inspired me to go down this route. And I remember one of the founders of that podcast, one of the hosts, Jeremy, had moved to San Diego, which is where I'm from. And I remember that he online, because I was following him on Twitter, said, "Hey, we're going to be in San Diego doing a little meetup. Anybody who's in the area should come out." And I was so deathly afraid because I felt ashamed that I was going to be going there to ask for help. I didn't want to. I sort of grew up in a sort of household where I had to take care of everything myself and I had to be perfect. And that was very tough to deal with after getting laid off because, you know, things did not go perfectly like I had thought and planned. But also, I remember driving to that meetup and sitting there and almost in my truck turning back around because I didn't think I had anything to add or I was just going to be sort of taking up space there. And I was at this event. It was at a Panera Bread in San Diego. So we all had like our soups and our salads and we were just eating. And one by one, everybody was going around sharing where they were at in business. And I remember just feeling so out of place. Like I did not belong there. I didn't go to business school. I went to architecture school. And people here were talking about things like SEO, which is search engine optimization, or funnels and leads and like language I didn't even understand. And everybody was sharing about their business that they had started already. And I was just getting started myself and just trying to figure things out. And I felt out of place. But when it came around to my turn, everybody was so massively helpful. There are people in this world who want to help, but nobody's going to help unless you show up and ask. And so I asked for help. And eventually what came out of that meeting was me diving into helping people pass an architectural exam and creating an ebook and a study guide to help people in that space. This very specific exam about something that I knew from my architecture career. The exam is called the LEED exam, L-E-E-D. You might have seen sort of emblems or symbols outside of buildings that are LEED certified while walking around before. Well, I was helping people pass that exam so they could become LEED accredited professionals. And they gave me the idea, Jeremy specifically said, "Hey, you should write an ebook and a study guide and sell it on your website." And I said, "What is an ebook? I have no idea." And I felt so stupid. Yet everybody lent a hand to help me. And I truly owe them so much because that was the start of an amazing career as an online business owner, as my own boss, as an entrepreneur, serial entrepreneur now with a podcast, multiple books, best-selling books, keynote speaker around the world. And it all started because I asked for help. And I had the courage to go and actually sit in on that meeting, put myself in an uncomfortable situation, and connect with the right people, mentor other leaders who I really looked up to, who were doing things that I wanted to do too. So just providing a little bit of inspiration. In addition to that, let's go to tip number 7 here. You need to find inspiration somewhere. So whether it's in a group like with what I had or with other people online sharing their success stories, or maybe it's your kids. Maybe your kids are the inspiration. You know, you're doing this for them. You need to have a reason to get up and keep going. You might not know what the next steps are, but you need a reason to get up so you can figure out what those next steps are, connect with the right people, and then at least take action or try. So find inspiration somewhere. What's going to get you up every morning so you can figure things out, get ahead, and hopefully get better off than you were before? And that's the whole point of this, and it can happen. So I know how you're feeling. This might be the worst situation in your life ever, and that's exactly how I felt. But again, to reiterate, looking back, this was the best thing that could ever happen to me, and I know it could be an opportunity for you too. Which leads me to number 8. And that's this question here, which I saw on day one of sort of our quarantine here. Again, we're in 2020. The COVID-19 outbreak has happened. Everybody's quarantined at home. And I saw a story on Michael Hyatt's Instagram with him asking all of us this question: what does this make possible? And that's a question that I ask myself every single day when something tough happens. Okay, what does this make possible? In sort of micro cases, it's like, okay, well, what can I learn from this situation? But in macro worldly situations like this, with everybody home now, everybody together, everybody trying to figure things out online, well, what does that make possible for you? What perhaps was the thing that you've always wanted to do that now you have time for? Whether that's starting a business or maybe it's more family time. You're at home with your family now. Make use of that time. What does this make possible? Consider that and put that on a post-it note and put it right in front of your computer or on your laptop. So every time you open it up, you are asking yourself, well, what is the opportunity that is now right in front of me versus, man, I wish things were the way they were before because it was safe and easy. So what does this make possible? Number 9, I'd recommend checking out my book, Let Go. Let Go is a book that was written in 2013 that chronicles my journey, emotions and all, from getting let go from my current position as a job captain at a very well-renowned architecture firm, how I got laid off, dealt with that, more accounts of these meetings, and how I turned my knowledge into an online business and got out of that and got out better on the other side. And so if you want to go a little bit deeper into my story, it's a very short read. You could probably read it in a day or a day and a half, and hopefully it'll inspire you like it's inspired tens of thousands of others. And right now during this crisis, it is for free at smartpassiveincome.com/toolkit. It was available for free pretty recently on Kindle, but unfortunately, Kindle only allows me for 5 days to do a promo for free there. So right now, we actually have it as a PDF file that you can download. And if you're listening to this in the future or perhaps reading the transcript, if you go to that link, it might redirect you somewhere else. But you know, reach out to us. We'll hook you up with a copy of Let Go for free. And we'll just send the PDF to you. Just send an email to help@teamspi.com. help@teamspi.com, and we'll hook you up with a free PDF copy of Let Go. It's the least I can do to help you in this situation because, again, I empathize with you. I know exactly what you're going through, and hopefully that story will inspire you. And I appreciate all of you who have picked it up and read it and have shared it. So, again, that's Let Go, and send an email to help@teamspi.com if it's not already available at smartpassiveincome.com/toolkit. And then finally, before I hand the mic over to Matt, I do want to say that there is a huge opportunity in front of you. You have skills and experiences and wisdom and drive now. And with those things combined, you can turn that into, to start at least, a very good, profitable freelancing career. You can help people who need these skills, and Matt's going to help you dissect what it is that you can do if you're interested in how you might be able to convert those skills into dollars and hopefully give you a little bit more of a cushion, if not potentially an opportunity to go full-time with that later or part-time still. You know, a lot of people freelance as a side hustle, and a lot of people I know have started freelancing and have gone full-time with it, have created giant agencies around that and have sold them for millions of dollars too. I can't guarantee anything, but Matt is the guy. He's helped even some of my own team members here, like Mindy, for example, start a freelancing career. And you know, now she's a part of my team. So here he is, Matt Gartland, CFO and COO of SPI Media. Here he is.
Pat, thank you so much for the handoff. And for all of you listening today, thank you so much for being here. It's crazy out there. There is a ton of information, news, media to listen to watch, to read. And we know that. We feel that too. So the fact that you're here listening to this episode, it's special. We're humbled by it, and we're excited to be here. I'm excited to be here and go to some depth on freelancing because it's important right now. In 2008, Pat lost his job. I was fortunate to not lose mine. I worked in the corporate sector in IT in a leadership position working with sales and marketing to bring really innovative software solutions to life. I loved my job, much like Pat loved his. I was grateful to survive that moment, but I saw a lot of friends that didn't. And my story in terms of becoming an entrepreneur and growing two different seven-figure businesses, both agencies, was actually rooted in that same time frame. Even though, again, I didn't face the extreme adversity that Pat did, it was around that time I mentally decided that I wanted to truly embrace my entrepreneurial instincts and give that a go. So about 2 years later, a little over 2 years later, I electively left and became a freelancer. Apart from loving operations and business process and as many numbers as you want to throw at me, all the financial stuff, that I do love and that I am really good at. I also love to write, and that was actually my freelancing career. I was electively studying composition literature in college in addition to all of my technology and business classes, and my friends thought I was, you know, crazy or, you know, probably taking some illicit substance that I shouldn't. I love story. So I'd always actually wanted to kind of explore somehow some way of working at the intersection of technology and business, but with story, with media. So although, again, not the most extreme situation like Pat, but I felt like I had to do it for myself and for those that I hope to help by way of writing and editing really important pieces of work. So I became a freelance writer and editor, worked with authors on a variety of different publication projects, books, digital books, some digital magazines, largely, you know, digital in nature. Some went to print, some print on demand. And I loved it. It was a grind to get started, but it was fantastic and opened my eyes more to, you know, what's possible out there when you can kind of sharpen your skills and believe in yourself more and you know, take a little bit of a risk and try to make your own luck. And that's what we're going to go through today, what I'm going to share from my experience starting out as a freelancer first and foremost, and then eventually turning my freelance career into an agency, and then joining a separate one in its early stages as a partner and helping grow, you know, that that other agency. The second one was focused on e-commerce, to another seven-figure business. Both of them having successful exits in different ways, you know, at the end of their tenure. It was actually the first one that I founded myself. Winning Edits was its name. That we did a lot of work with Pat. Pat mentioned his Let Go memoir in his portion of this episode. And I finally look back at that because it was the very first project that we did together. And actually, I was a freelancer, borderline agency at that point, and continued to do expansive work with Pat and the SPI brand, and, you know, fell in love with him as a person and as a leader. And, you know, in this space. So, you know, fast forward to actually the end of 2019, and it was when, or I'm sorry, 2018, when Pat and I, having become, you know, really good friends during that time, decided to finally join forces formally and merge our companies. So Winning Edits folded into SPI, basically had a baby. That's SPI Media today, and here we are. So that's my story. Sorry to kind of share that as backdrop, but hopefully that provides some valid context, useful context to how a freelance career can turn into something, at least for me, far bigger, more beautiful, more amazing than honestly I even thought, you know, when I left my corporate job to start freelancing. And that may not be your path. That may not be the path you even want. I illustrate that merely to say that it's possible and really wonderful things can happen that even, you know, the current moment of uncertainty and fear, I'm sure to a great extent, you know, probably precludes a lot of people from seeing or embracing right now. But if you can start to orient yourself toward freelancing, if that excites you even a little bit, I can promise you from my experiences professionally and what it's meant for me personally and my family that it is a very exciting, worthwhile path to consider. So with the storytelling portion of this over with, I am excited to share today 10 components to starting up a potential freelancing career. I'll share the 10 kind of here at the start to kind of give a lay of the land, and then we'll dig into all 10. A couple of disclaimers first, though. One, you don't have to do all of these things tomorrow. You can space these things out. Yeah, you definitely should. Don't overwhelm yourself. Second disclaimer, you don't have to do necessarily all of these things ever. I definitely recommend them. Some probably more than the other would be deemed kind of maybe mandatory. But there are some that are probably elective. So, you know, listen to this, pick and choose the ones you think makes the most sense for you and the certain freelancing craft that you may want to embrace and bring to bear. Third disclaimer is that by no means do you have to do all of these things perfectly, especially the first time. When we talk about things like contracts and, you know, pitching prospective clients and things. So much of freelancing, especially in the early days, is a learn by doing sort of mentality. And it's a great thing to just lean into. Overall, last disclaimer, and by far the most important one, enjoy the work of creating your own freelancing thing. It's a time of discovery. There are good methods, good strategies, good tools and techniques to consider and use. And it's, again, a crazy time in the world right now. So if you're going to do this, if you're going to spend some quality time, you know, on your own, away from family, away from other commitments, and really, really think about this, you know, do it in a way that motivates you. Don't feel forced into, you know, any one of these things that I'm about to share, or even that maybe Pat shared, or that other people advising you to do. Do what makes sense for you and that you feel good about doing, and enjoy the work of figuring this out. Okay, finally, let's get into this. The 10 things we're going to hit. 1, organize your thoughts. 2, develop a business model. 3, present a professional image. 4, track your prospective clients. 5, consider joining a freelancer marketplace. 6, join a community of freelancers. 7, demonstrate your expertise in content form. 8, collect and incorporate testimonials into your marketing materials. 9, prepare to be surprised and therefore prepare to adapt. And 10, I'm actually going to hold on until the very end and leave that as a small surprise. So the first one, organize your thoughts. Again, the freelancing landscape is vast, almost borderless. There is almost, you know, no boundary to what it can be, how big, how narrow, how diverse, how creative you want to get with it. So you need to start committing your thoughts on paper around your skills. What are you good at? What do you want to maybe invest more into and kind of sharpen a certain domain area? If you're an accountant, a certified public accountant, professional accountant, rather, if you're a certified financial advisor in the financial sector, you know, how can you really kind of hone in on, you know, key skills there. If you are, you know, a craftsman and you build furniture, you know, what sort of furniture, how specific can you get with, you know, the sorts of handiwork, you know, that you do. If you are a developer, a coder, what technology languages kind of come to you the best that you already have a foundation with and that you maybe want to expand upon? Do you like front-end development more than back-end development? So mapping your thoughts out on paper, physically or digitally, is really the first thing that I did that I know a lot of my freelancer friends that have been successful do. You have to give some shape and form, you know, to all of these wonderful but also crazy thoughts that bounce around in your head. Think about pricing as well. You know, are you trying to target a certain, you know, customer type that might have deep pockets, or, you know, are you trying to join forces with, you know, some more, you know, beginner type, clients, and you might have to calibrate your pricing, you know, in that way. There's so many aspects to, you know, thinking about, even your branding. If you have thoughts on branding, start writing down and mapping out, you know, words and ideas and emotions that, you know, might relate to how you want to position, you know, your freelancing business. A great way of doing that is a simple mind map. Again, draw that out on paper, nothing terribly fancy about it. If you do want to get a little fancier about it, there are digital tools that make this easy. You can search for a bunch of them on a website called Product Hunt, producthunt.com. It's basically like a Google search engine, but for tools, whether they be hardware or software. So if you go to producthunt.com and just search for mind mapping, you will find a great many options. One that I personally like and use myself is called MindNode, MindNode.com. I believe it's only a Mac app, Mac software for both your computer as well as your phone, and it's free, super easy to use. So when it's a new big creative project or a business model that I'm contemplating, if my, you know, note cards aren't handy because I love note cards to quickly map something out on paper, I'll spin up the MindNode app and just kind of quickly capturing some thoughts there. So start to give structure and give form, you know, to your thoughts on what sort of skills am I good at? How can I turn those into services? What sort of customers might be interested in those? Thoughts around branding so they can create a unique story for yourself. Start mapping that out, draw lines, connect the dots. It'll give you something more tangible to work with. And that supports number two, which is to develop a business model. Now, a lot of people might hear business model, the term business model, and get scared. Think that that's scary and complex and not fun. And I can assure you that it's none of those things. It can be very simple. It can be fun. I hope that it is. Because again, this is just an extension of the creativity that you started in the first exercise in, again, more nebulous creative form. An actual business model just takes it to the next level in terms of specificity, in terms of more discipline in the thinking. A really great resource is called the Business Model Canvas. It is literally a one-page sheet, has really thoughtful prompts, and organized those prompts into different quadrants that link together. The specific questions, some of which anyway, are what do you do? Who do you help? How do you interact? How do you reach them, the them being prospective clients? So by organizing your thoughts through mind mapping from the first exercise, you'll have more substance to then, again, parlay further into actually developing a business model. This is one topic of many that I actually wrote about in the Epic Guide to Business Fundamentals on SPI. So if you do go to SPI.com, smartpassiveincome.com, and you navigate to the business development section of our website, you will find featured there the Epic Guide to Business Fundamentals. I wrote that guide cover to cover. Very proud of it. It was a lot of fun to create. And in chapter one is really all about this concept of business modeling, with a specific emphasis on this particular tool called the Business Model Canvas from Alex Osterwalder, the original creator of it. You'll see a picture of the Business Model Canvas, a link to download a free PDF copy. There's others on the internet. You can just Google for Business Model Canvas and find your own version for some reason if you want a different version. And then go through the prompts and start to structure out, again, in more detail, in more, I guess, refined thinking, if you will, as compared to the first exercise. And then you'll have a blueprint. You know, after coming out of that developing of a business model, at least as a first draft, a first complete draft that you can be proud of and maybe start, you know, sharing with some friends, getting some reaction to. It's a really great thing to have, an asset to have as you continue to work towards a freelancing concept for yourself. After that, once you make more strides, once you have a direction as informed by your business model to a certain client avatar, you know, that you want to work with in a certain sector, and probably being as niched as you can be. So maybe not just a certified, you know, professional accountant in general that could conceivably service anybody, but maybe you work with athletes. Maybe you work with teachers. Maybe you work with, you know, software companies that are in the health sector. So trying to find that level of specificity, number two, you know, in the business modeling component is very, very helpful and sets up number three, which is to present a professional image. So once you have enough figured out, it's time to start creating some marketing assets, you know, really. So number one, a simple one-page website. There's a lot of really easy to use website builders these days, way too many to mention. And you don't need like a really complex multi-page website to get started, especially not as a freelancer. Just a one-page service-oriented website that is value-driven, really expresses, you know, your craft, your background, how you came to develop this expertise and why you love it and why you do what you do as a freelancer. It's really all that you need, apart from also certainly having a method on that site to get in, touch with you. It could be a simple contact form. You could also incorporate, if you want to be a little more advanced, using a platform such as Typeform.com, more of like an application survey. If you want to kind of pre-screen some people on the front end of some submissions through your website. But that sort of stuff isn't necessary, at least not to get started. A simple one-page website, you can consider Squarespace, some great templates there. Lead Pages is another platform. Lead Pages kind of steers more towards marketing landing pages versus websites, but it could still be an option. StudioPress is yet another option. They're a WordPress hosted solution that has their own website themes, and some geared toward, you know, consulting-esque work, freelancing work. That is all more or less, you know, codeless. You don't have to, you know HTML or CSS or do any of that. A lot of it's kind of, you know, drag and drop and, you know, write your text and upload some photography or some graphical assets and click publish. And there you go. So you will need a website, and you don't have to make it complicated. There are resources out there to make it simple. Next, eventually, as you work toward, you know, getting into a spot where you're going to start marketing your services as a freelancer, you're going to need a contract. And hopefully once you close your first freelancing project, you'll be sending invoices. It's really, really important to present a professional image, even in those moments. I continue to see, just a lot of freelancers kind of rush that part. Again, it doesn't have to be complex or difficult or expensive to create in terms of contracts or sending out of invoices, but just, you know, take the extra step or two to use some platforms out there that makes it easy for you and does kind of provide that professional layer, you know, to it all. So for example, in this space, if you are so willing, you could use QuickBooks. There's an option of QuickBooks for basically solopreneurs or freelancers to be able to, send professional invoicing, have it integrated with payment options such as, you know, ACH payment for, you know, bank transfers, for, you know, PayPal or Stripe for credit card payments. Makes it, you know, really easy. That obviously is a platform you'll pay some money for, you know, per month or on an annual plan. But it's definitely one of the best for freelancers that are maybe taking the idea of going full-time freelance, seriously. That's probably a really strong option for them. FreshBooks is another great platform to use, and we have a relationship with FreshBooks. They're actually our featured sponsored on the Ask Pat podcast, as a disclaimer, but it's a great tool, and we have used it in the past as well. To send really professional looking invoices, really simple to use. We like that a whole bunch. There's another platform that's really interesting that actually kind of is a multi-headed monster, but in a good way. And that's called And.co, And.co. And through this platform, it's another one that has pro plans that, you know, you'd pay for. A lot of these plans, by the way, customarily have their free trial period. So you can test out a lot of these for free, kind of feel which ones, you know, might work the best for you, feel right for you, etc. This particular platform, you can do a lot in it. Again, you know, a multi-headed friendly monster here. You can create really professional looking proposals and contracts. You can do all of the invoicing and payment stuff, you know, within their platform as well. You can actually track time. So time tracking as a freelancer is important, especially if you bill on the basis of time. If you do accrual time at an hourly rate, that gets really important. Now, most of these modern systems for invoicing these days do have time tracking components. FreshBooks has it. Harvest is another great platform for invoicing and setting up projects and tracking time. And then once you track the time, it's really easy to create invoicing based off of those logged hours. You're not like recording it in a spreadsheet and have to manually do the math and compute it later. But And.co is particularly interesting because, at least for me, more than just the kind of the financial pieces, it does have the proposal and contract piece. So if contracts is something that is kind of scary a little bit, look at and.co. If not and.co, LegalZoom is a great place to find some free or very inexpensive, you know, baseline contracts for, you know, 1099 oriented service providers, and that's what a freelancer is. So, you know, consider LegalZoom. If you go to Product Hunt again, and even through, again, that search engine, search for, you know, various forms of like legal tools and whatnot, you'll find some resources there. Our general counsel team, and I've worked for them with our GC team for probably 6 years now, Mark and John, Stansbury Weaver is their firm. I think they have even some free templates that, if anyone is interested, you know, contact us at SPI and we can try to get those free resources in your hand, or at least point you in the direction of Mark and John, and their free resources available on their website. So, just, I guess maybe my message here, if anything, is that, you know, contracts are important. You will need them. It protects you from liability. It protects you for different payment terms. It provides clarity to like when a project ends and the scope of that, so you don't get taken advantage of. There are always, unfortunately, you know, the horror stories in a freelancing world of being taken advantage of when you're the freelancer, especially when you don't have a contract at all, or if the contract, you know, has some gaping holes in it. So do some basic due diligence. Check out and.co for contracts. Check out LegalZoom if you need it. If you still need help, you know, you can contact us and we can see what my GC team, my lawyers, the general counsel team might have by way of some free templates to provide to you all. So all of that was kind of roped up in the, you know, presenting of a professional image for yourself as a freelancer. Let's helps you really kind of stand out from, you know, the crowd of just an average freelancer, you know, in your market. Again, as a freelancer, freelance developer, as a designer, as a strategist or just business consultant or business coach, as an accountant, as anything, again, anything under the sun, whether it's a, you know, digitally oriented or even in the physical world of selling furniture, or you do baked goods, something like that. Number four, to track your prospective clients. Once this gets going, you have your business model. You're excited by that. You've gotten some feedback. Maybe you've even iterated on that. You've used that to then inform your one page website. You've started to market that. You've gotten some interest. And okay, what do I do with that interest, right? Maybe even before you've kind of closed your first project as a freelancer, you should start kind of tracking that. And it doesn't have to be complicated either. You can use a really simple Google spreadsheet to, you know, capture some data points on like who is this person, who referred this person, what is the person's email address, you know, the date in which, you know, I first made contact or was introduced, and then, you know, I sent a follow-up email on this different date. What this level of thinking kind of builds toward, at least as a bigger concept, is the idea of a customer relationship management mentality, so a CRM, which is a really dry term and acronym. It's very corporate-y, I realize. But the thinking behind it is still important for freelancers. Because at some point, if things really start to kind of click into place, you'll have multiple leads at any given time. You'll close a project with, you know, a client or two. That's a one-time project. Maybe they come around again in a few months and they want a second project. So you're starting to then, if you capture the data from the beginning, you start to kind of have a bit of a small database on your clients. And again, database can sound like a scary term. It doesn't have to be. It can be just a super simple spreadsheet where you capture, you know, a couple columns worth of data. Trello is a free tool, Trello.com, T-R-E-L-L-O. It's kind of based on columns, really easy drag and drop, almost like super fun. And you can create like little cards in your columns to track, you know, your clients kind of through this pipeline of like, okay, I've made contact, I've sent them a proposal on a certain date. How long has it been since, you know, I sent that proposal and I've heard back from them here. I'll say now that this is one of the pieces, as one of my disclaimers, you don't necessarily have to do. So if you're thinking of your freelancing endeavor as a side hustle, as something that may not turn into a full-time thing, this is maybe slightly optional, but if you start to get a lot of traction, if this gets exciting, and if the volume starts to get maybe a bit unwieldy, you just got to commit some of that to, a system of some kind. And I'm certainly recommending, based on my experience, a digital system. So Trello is great. If you want to capture, some of these data points and be able to look back at that, over time to kind of see, how long typically it takes to close a project, once a proposal is sent, stuff like that. So another great platform out there. This one is not free, admittedly. It's about $15 a month. It's called PipeDrive. PipeDrive.com. Very tailored to essentially, a sales pipeline, and beginning to, through its own, disciplines and structures, help lead you through kind of organizing your sales opportunities, right? Your client prospects as a freelancer. So another platform that I'm sure offers a free trial if you want to give it a try. I used it at a point in my career. Didn't use it necessarily all the way through because I do love building my own spreadsheets, as Pat can attest to. But it's a great resource to at least maybe do some benchmarking on. That brings us to number five, which is to consider joining a freelancer marketplace. This one kind of can cut a couple different ways. If you're finding great success on your own, with your own network and your own marketing, using social channels to discover potential clients and get discovered by them, you may not need to, go to an existing marketplace, to get business, to get leads. But you can, to supplement, your own kind of channels and pipelines of potential, interest, and potential client prospects. You can still do that to just amplify, your reach. It's also a great way to get started. So if you're struggling to get leads, or maybe good leads, because certainly not all leads are created equal, you can consider, marketplaces that are, built. They exist to basically be matchmaker between people that, are looking to hire freelancers of a particular skill, and in fact, the people with those skills. Upwork is arguably the largest or maybe most modern right now, Upwork.com. So give that a look, check it out, even for research purposes. And a lot of this stuff at some point can become a little bit cyclical in terms of sharpening your own messaging, your unique selling proposition, how you kind of describe your services, and whether you, describe those services as and price those services, I should say, just in hourly rates, or if you want to try to shift into value-based pricing, which is simply to say maybe more retainer models and different sorts of, service structures that aren't just always rate-based. So you can go to these marketplaces and kind of just scout for other people like you and how they market themselves, and you can get ideas from them. So again, you don't necessarily have to join these marketplaces for the sake of getting business. You can use it for research purposes also. Upwork is big and more broad in terms of, potential freelancers and work that kind of flows through that marketplace. There are other niche marketplaces all over the internet, for different industries and sub-industries, sub-niches. Being from the publishing space, at least in big measure, I came to know and admire the Reedsy community, and that's REEDSY.com. And even got to exchange some communications with their CEO, just a really good guy. That community is focused on book publishing pros. So if you are a freelance writer, or you want to be, if you're a freelance editor, and God love you if you are, because I love editors, if you are a designer, or anyone, marketer or publicist, any sort of a professional that operates around and within the book publishing community, Reedsy is a great place to go to learn, develop some additional thoughts about your freelancing business. Again, how you position it, how you structure your services, You can research other people doing, you know, similar work, and you can in fact list yourself, you know, to be discovered within their marketplace, and have work flow, you know, to you through that. So, go out there. If book publishing is not your industry, if you're not a writer or an editor or in some way associated with books, just Google for, you know, different freelance marketplaces, you know, with a variety of different keywords that are relevant, you know, to your industry, and those will emerge for you. Beyond just the marketplaces, number six, so moving on to number six, are communities of freelancers. Pat emphasized this as one of his key points, might have been his first one, that you are not alone. You're not alone on so many levels, not the least of which is just as a freelancer. So the marketplaces aren't necessarily geared toward you being able to meet other freelancers and developing a social relationship. So that's why this is a separate point and a point of emphasis. Whether those are masterminds as one key term that you maybe build on your own or seek to find and join, whether it's a kind of Slack-based community that exists out there, whether it's a Facebook group that's out there that's for freelancers, and hopefully you can find some that are, again, more narrow, more focused and specialized on your particular craft that you want to freelance within, you know, look for those. The social component is big, again, especially now in the moment that we're in. There's so much value to be gained from freelancer communities. Certainly, you can be there for each other, both, you know, in times of wins and losses, you know, the highs and the lows. You can find, you know, potential referral partners for overflow work if someone just has more demand than they can handle and they don't want to maybe take their freelancing career into, you know, the agency realm. They can pass through some work that they can't say yes to you. And hopefully maybe, you know, vice versa, and build some really abundance-based relationships. Find people that are adjacent to you that you can collaborate on. You know, book publishing is great. And again, from my experience where, you know, if I was the lead editor on a book, you know, I'm not the designer. I might have some design ideas. But if I have a design buddy, like I did, especially back in the early days, you know, that, didn't only do books, but he was very gifted, you know, with book covers, and full jacket design covers, then I can recommend him, you know, and tag him along into a project or vice versa. And he can tag me and recommend me for, you know, a project that came his way first. So, this one probably also optional, but I can't recommend it enough. Again, especially while we're, or at least a lot of us right now, you know, inside our houses and on some measure of, you know, stay in place, look for it now. It's great to find these communities. And I will highlight one that is not per se kind of industry specific or niche specific. It's just one that is small and well curated and that I know personally. And that is the Unreal Collective community. So it's unrealcollective.com. My friend Jay Klaus runs it. He's the founder. It's based here in Columbus, Ohio, which is where I'm based. And it's just fantastic. It's sort of an amalgamation of different forms of freelancers and entrepreneurs, all through the lens of creativity. So creative professionals in some way, shape, or form. There are, you know, tech company founders in the community. There are freelance artists and photographers. There are developers. There are data scientists. There are party planners, actually. And there's me, for whatever that's worth. I'm in the community too, and proudly so. It's excellent. It is not free. I will say that off the bat. To join the community is a few hundred dollars. I definitely think it's worth it. There is no relationship, not an affiliate relationship anyway, you know, between us, and Jay. I just know him, trust him, believe in him. And he's doing really great work. So if nothing else, check him out. You can follow his work generally. He certainly does have a lot of, free content, free material out there. The community itself is the thing that there is a price component, you know, to it. And if it's not, you know, Jay's community, again, there are so many others out there. Go to Facebook, just Google. There's a lot that are now based on Slack. If you're familiar with the Slack collaboration platform, find other people like you and say hello. Introduce yourself, even if you're just getting started, even if you don't have a client yet. It's definitely okay. It's definitely encouraged to go say hello. We were all there at one point in time. Once you do start to gain further traction, consider taking that traction, those case studies, as well as just your own experience for the skill that you have already, and in some way, kind of create a piece of content around it. So this is number seven, to demonstrate your expertise in content form. So for a lot of, you know, SPI fans from over the years and Pat fans, you know, this is going to sound, you know, eerily similar to a lot of our teachings, you know, over the years, which is, you know, content marketing. Create a manifesto, you know, a free PDF oriented, you know, resource. Create an ebook. Create a podcast, maybe. It doesn't have to be large and kind of ongoing like a podcast is, as much as we love podcasts. Maybe just start small and start singular. Start something with that, you know, you can create once and kind of configure it and put it out there. So it's another asset kind of, you know, in your arsenal to market yourself and demonstrate that, you know, that expertise. So when you are, you know, kind of courting, you know, new potential clients, and as that volume grows, you know, you can point people in these directions as just further proof points that, you know, hey, you know, I'm an exceptional, you know, designer. And here's a body of work that I can showcase in an ebook form or a gallery format. So the extent of content marketing is obviously wide. And we talk a lot about that at SPI in a lot of different ways. Maybe just to point it onto like one specific thing, thinking back even to Pat's personal story, you know, when he started his first niche website and discovered that there was just tremendous amount of traffic, you know, to that website, which was focused on his architecture exam, you know, that he was taking at the time, the green exam. You know, he created himself, I believe in Microsoft Word, an ebook. He actually charged for it. It was his first actual product. Laid it out himself, styled it, you know, even and just out of Microsoft Word, exported it to PDF, put it in a payment gateway, and sold it for like $17. And, you know, overnight, that changed his life and certainly changed, you know, the entire trajectory for him and his family and what, you know, and what we have now today here at SPI. So, Pat is phenomenal on stage and an outstanding audio guy. I wouldn't necessarily call him the best designer, to poke a little fun at Pat. Which is simply to say, in seriousness, that even if you're not a designer, create something little. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be a paid product like Pat's first ebook was. It can be a free manifesto, a free resource, a template that you might give away as a lead magnet to an email series, if you have that as a thing that you might add later, you know, to your website. But demonstrate your freelance expertise, or at least strongly consider it, you know, at some point farther down the road, I am sure, as a way of demonstrating and showcasing your talent and the stories behind the work that you do. The story component plays into number eight, which is to collect and incorporate testimonials, you know, into your marketing materials. Don't miss the opportunity when you do start, you know, landing some freelancing work to just ask the question at the end of the project, you know, of your client, like, hey, I'd love to get, you know, just a short testimonial, an honest testimonial, you know, about our work together. And if you do that, you know, immediately, or in the very short term after that project closes and hopefully closes successfully, while it's still fresh and while emotions are good and all of these things, It's a fantastic, you know, asset. It's just another asset that you can get. And if you just make it a habit of just asking that simple question for a very honest, you know, testimonial at the end of, you know, different freelance engagements, you'll build quickly, you know, a playbook of really glowing stuff that you can place on your website, that you can put in your proposal decks, if you have proposal decks, that you can associate with different social channels, and just becomes, you know, different, again, social proof for the work that you do. It makes your job that much easier down the road with sending out proposals and getting yeses, it will almost certainly, based on my experience anyway, shorten your cycle time, your sales cycle time, from when you make contact with someone to when you send a proposal to when you hear back on a proposal to when you finish maybe negotiating a proposal to getting a signed contract. All of that together being your sales cycle. So the more that you can add in testimonials over time, especially, like, my goodness, please start capturing those now from day one, from your first client. Those stories up, you know, in addition to your own, it's just magic. As you navigate all of this stuff, all the way from the beginning, the first time mind mapping your thoughts and going from raw, crazy, you know, inspiration in your head and trying to commit some of that to paper, through the business modeling process of adding and applying structure, more structure to that, to sharpening that into some marketing messages that you put on your website, to putting yourself out there eventually and asking for business and trying to land that work, to meeting other freelancers and communities, to interacting with maybe marketplaces. This whole journey exemplifies number 9, which is to be surprised. I'm sorry, to prepare to be surprised and therefore, you know, prepare to adapt to those surprises. As much as I can teach and others can teach, again, the methods and the science and the art of freelancing, so much of it is adaptation to your industry, to, you know, your own goals and wants and needs, to the feedback you get from clients. It is a full contact sport. It's exciting. It's worth it. You will have disgruntled clients if you spend any time at all, you know, being a freelancer. You will also discover that sometimes your most lucrative project may also be with your best, most easiest to manage client. It never surprises me just how many surprises there are in the world of freelancing. It's abundant. It's beautiful. It's challenging at times, for sure. There isn't a tool here to suggest or offer. The only thing to maybe say is, like, just have that attitude that, like, you'll get surprised a lot of times, positively, great, wonderful surprises. Some not so awesome surprises at times, for sure. You'll deal with clients that don't pay on time, or that hopefully you'll never experience this, but that may never pay. I've certainly, you know, been hit with that unfortunate surprise a couple times at the end of projects, and the last invoice never paid. And, you know, do you pull lawyers in to fight that? And you got to kind of do that cost analysis on, is it worth it? And, you know, it's a yucky situation. But you know, the point at large is that it's an adventure. It is a journey, and it is worth it, because the positives, and it's not just the income. You know, it's the confidence. It's the taking of more, you know, financial, you know, control for yourself, your families, putting that more in your hands, meeting really talented, wonderful people, and probably not just in your local community. You know, thanks to the power of the internet, you know, I have friends all over the country and certainly across the globe a little bit because of my freelancing career that led into my, you know, agency career and the rest of my just entrepreneurial career at large. I mean, Pat's in San Diego and, you know, I've developed a wonderful friendship and partnership, you know, with him for this very reason. So just be prepared for the surprises, you know, take the punches when they come. Come back stronger, and it's worth it. It's exciting, and it's worth it. Which does lead me to my final number 10 here that I was teasing it from the beginning, and that's simply to don't quit. And that might be a bit woo-woo and mushy, and, you know, maybe that's true. It's not a hard business strategy or tactic here. But if freelance excites you in this moment of either, you know, real need, if you have been displaced, or if you just feel the energy now that this is the moment to take it seriously, to think about it more, and start to put yourself out there, don't quit. Especially if this is something like you just kind of feel in your core that is right for you in your future, for your career, for your family. Keep going. There's people here to support you. We're here to support you at SPI. I've pointed you in a couple directions for communities and marketplaces where you can get more support. The support is out there in spades. And so many people exactly in your position are asking the same questions and considering the same ideas and preparing perhaps to make the same decisions. So I'll end there that don't quit. Keep thinking about this. We're here for you. We're excited for you. We are here to support you. So if there's anything that we can do, me, Pat, anyone on the team, just holler, let us know. So we're grateful for you and good luck.
Thanks, Matt. I appreciate you putting much more time into this than I had originally expected. So thank you so much for that. And I hope that for those of you listening, you are encouraged by this episode. You are hopeful. You are perhaps at least now have a little bit of direction. And I just hope that you can also see that we have an amazing breadth of knowledge on the team here. It's not just me. It's not just Pat Flynn anymore. Team SBI is Matt, CFO, COO, Mindy with solutions and technology, Karen with content, and Sarah Jane with partnerships, and known for customer service, and just so many other great people. Of course, Jess, many of you know, who is my executive assistant, and Andrea running operations. There's just so many great people who are here to serve you. And I hope that you could see that, you know, if times are tough, you at least know that there's this team over here on this side who really wants to put in the work to help you. You can find out more information about how we can help more directly during this time at smartpassiveincome.com/toolkit. Again, there's a lot of free resources there. This podcast episode is hosted there along with another one related to managing your business finances and dealing with team members around this kind of crisis, as well as free books, free resources, free courses, just anything that we've put together to help you at this current moment in time. We empathize with you. We are here for you. Let us know how you feel. If you want to send us an email, help@teamspi.com. Let us know what you think, as well as at Pat Flynn on Twitter. Or if you want to hook up with Matt, at Matt, that's two T's, at Matt Gartland, G-A-R-T-L-A-N-D. I hope you enjoyed having him on the show today too. Send him some love if you can. Thank you so much. Best of luck to you. And one more time, smartpassiveincome.com/toolkit. Cheers. Entrepreneurs, what is the smart way to save when your growing business takes you on the road? Whether you're going to events or conventions or you're speaking somewhere, no matter what it is, you need to sign up for a free membership with Hertz Business Rewards. Yep, Hertz Rental Car created a program to help small and mid-sized businesses save money. Work trips, client meetings, industry conferences. With Hertz Business Rewards, you save at least 20% every time you rent a car. And you'll save on more than just the daily rate. Members earn credits redeemable toward free rental days, and it's also free to add an additional driver if any additional coworkers come along. And for those Gen Z entrepreneurs out there, no young renter fees. Plus, sign up for Hertz Business Rewards today and earn 3x credit during your first 90 days. These benefits add up to big savings that stack more dollars in your wallet. Join for free at hertz.com/businessrewards. Applies to base rate, taxes, fees, and options excluded. Additional terms and exclusions apply. Visit hertz.com/businessrewards to learn more. Hey, if you're looking for a new podcast to add to your rotation, I've got one for you. It's called Dirty Money, and it's like a hybrid between a true crime and a business podcast. So hosts Jonathan Small and Dan Bova tell the tales of legendary scammers, con artists, and barely legal lowlifes who stop at nothing to rake in millions. Recent episodes include the man who looted $100 million from his own company. Crazy. Give it a listen. Head on over to Dirty Money right now on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher.